And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Laura Houston, and it is Intuitive Literacy with
Angelo Corriero. Welcome, folks.
And why don't you tell us about our sponsor?
Okay. Our sponsor is Gardening for Life. I'll tell you a bit about Gardening for Life. Gardening for Life creates innovative horticultural therapy programs using nature and the cultivation of plants to improve our physical, emotional, social, and spiritual well-being. For those of you interested in learning more, please visit www.gardeningforlife.ca.
Perfect. And tonight we have a great guest.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lori's a fantastic medical intuitive. I heard of her many years back and was so intrigued by the work that I wanted to study it. So... I did that, and still am. She's the author of Demystifying Medical Intuition. It's a seminal reference book that was published in 2005. Before we bring Lori on the show, I just wanted to quickly update listeners to what we have coming up in the next few months. The next show, which is Monday, April the 19th, we're joined by Diane Hennessy Powell. She's an MD and the author of The ESP Enigma, The Scientific Case for Psychic Phenomenon. Or psychic phenomena, rather. For anyone that's interested in exploring the paranormal, for understanding or exploring the mechanism of how intuition or ESP works, this is definitely the show to listen to. She has written a fantastic book and has spent many years of research and has compiled this into one book. So she's going to be on to discuss that, followed by Monday, May 17th, where I'll be discussing the concept of vital signs from a vibrational perspective. I will be available to answer your questions, so please be attuned to that. That's Monday, May 17th. And not to move on too far ahead, but we're also joined by a fantastic practitioner, an associate instructor with the Reconnection. And we'll be discussing the new frequencies of healing with Kelly Woodruff, and that's in June, and that's Monday, June the 7th.
Okay. Well, I heard of Lori probably back in, I'm going to say 2003, when... someone had approached me to do some TV work, and Lori was also involved with that. And this is really cool because we've actually not ever met in person, but we've probably both seen each other's names and heard of each other for quite a while now. So I'm excited to have Lori on the show.
Great. Let's do the bio before we bring her on.
Okay.
Okay. Lori Wilson is a social worker, author, radio show host, trainer, and is the founder of Inner Access 101. Lori has been providing channeling, regression, medical intuition, business intuition, traditional and intuitive counseling for over 25 years. She currently has 10 active trainers who teach her work through Inner Access 101. This education and resource network brings the exciting tools of medical intuition, channeling, and regression to an ever-expanding market. A visionary and self-professed mother bear, Lori's passion is to demystify and spread inner trust. This is evident in all she does. If you have a question, please email us at lori@intuitivesoul.com. We are accepting questions via email tonight.
Yes.
That said, welcome, Lori.
Well, welcome. I'm aging as we speak. I'm feeling so ancient in a good kind of way. I'm glad to be on the show with both of you and your listeners. Thanks for inviting me on.
Thank you. So we have a lot to speak about. I've been exploring your work, and I've utilized what you call the attending model of medical intuition through my own practice, and I've seen my own intuitive capacity flourish as a result. So, you know, that said, let's just give listeners a brief intro into just what medical intuition is.
Brief intro into what medical intuition is, I would probably say it's the overall ability to use your intuition to intuitively perceive or receive information from the body. It could be your own body, or it could be, more often than not in this work, when we say medical intuition, when we're working with others, it's receiving information intuitively about someone else's body. In the book that you've mentioned earlier, when you were leading in the Demystifying Medical Intuition, I talked about five main styles of medical intuition, five main ways of how to do the work. happy to run you through those. You mentioned the attending model, which is sort of our blanket name for the work that we do. And really, it's a wonderful, wonderful tool to be able to help people get a more complete idea or picture of what's going on with their health, especially things that might have eluded traditional, you know, testing or diagnosis because it's not coming up in traditional tests. So that's my general introduction to it.
Can you explain the mechanism at all? The idea of the concept of intuition comes up a lot, and people seem to have a lot of, you know, mythologies or constructs around just, you know, how it operates and,
right.
You know, where do you find? Is it the field? Is it in the body? Is it a right brain hemispheric thing?
Intuition itself, I would say, is probably everywhere in our being. It's something that we, you know, we've had it for since the beginning of time. It's a part of our operating system. So I don't think it's in one place or another. I imagine that electromagnetically you can measure it operating at different brainwave levels when it's in use, because it's a little different, a brainwave pattern, more of an alpha or maybe a theta brainwave pattern than a beta, a busy mind brainwave pattern. So there's probably measurable differences within the energy field, but where it resides within us, I think it's everywhere. It permeates our whole being. People talk about the gut sense or their inner sense, or good old Spider-Man's Matt now added the Spidey sense to our repertoire. I think our whole body, our whole being energetically knows and perceives things at many, many different levels before we may know it consciously or ever know it consciously.
Mm-hmm.
That's my theory.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So certainly with medical intuition, when what we're doing and what we train our students to do and what I've trained myself to do is to access the information strictly from the client's energy field that we would know as the physical body. So that's where we're going to go get the information. Certainly information can show up, you know, in all different realms. It could be emotional, it could be spiritual, it could be environmental, it could be something that's going on, you know, at their workplace. So it may be outside of their energy field, but the body would know and register that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we're going for the information when we talk about medical intuition itself specifically.
Okay. When I began this in 97, this is before I met you, you know, I was sitting in front of friends at coffee shops and just, I would receive, you know, random images in my mind's eye, you know, just pictures and things would flash. And then I would begin to know things immediately about the other person.
Right.
My interest in the study or the practice was, you know, how come it doesn't happen all the time? And then that's when I began to practice more. And I discovered that, you know, the more you focus on something or the more you decide to practice or investigate or explore it, the more you're going to find.
Absolutely.
Right. So, and that's part of, you know, from my language, the part of the positive feedback mechanism of intuition, which is once you acknowledge one point, that's fine. You rested with that. That's one subset. That's one piece of data. You shelve it aside and then wait for the next subset or impression and, you know, so on and so forth. And that could be received from a variety of different places, as you discuss in the book.
Absolutely.
So how do you get there?
As far as how do you get there from making it structured and on call versus having it happen randomly in shelved moments in coffee shops?
Yeah, yeah, I kind of like that.
Which is, I don't drink coffee, so maybe that was my problem.
Okay.
I couldn't just have it hit me with the right amount of caffeine.
Okay.
We are training our students, and certainly, again, I've trained myself. You have to remember my background is as a social worker, and so for me, when I first discovered this wonderful world of intuition, it was actually through channeling, which happened spontaneously, where I had tuned into wisdom from a spirit guide, a wonderful Shoshone elder that I've grown to call grandmother. But I didn't know about what all of that was, and I didn't at that moment in time or any moment in time want to be so intuitive, so psychically perceptive that I could just randomly know things about people, because I wouldn't want somebody doing that to me, even if they could or had just a fleeting moment. I really would want my privacy valued, and so would they. So I've always kind of shied away from that kind of development, you know, back in the 80s is sort of when I came into my own intuitive awareness. And back then, if anybody's lived through that time and lived to tell the tale, it was a pretty frightening time, you know, with our dabbling and experimenting and exploring and quasi-dating and all of these wonderful things that would happen when your intuition would merge all over with everyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've seen the worst of what we can possibly do with our intuition, hence my way of training myself and our students as well is just rein it really tightly, use it at will, but you've got to have an outlet. So when you mention, you know, your discovery of your intuition, Angelo, is a great example. A lot of people will have those kind of random pieces show up and they're accurate and it's like, wow, what do we do with that? And if we're in a place of relaxation or a place of openness, a place of, you know, social paying attention, that's often when people will get intuitive information. So sometimes people will ask, you know, in our classes or ask me personally, well, how do I turn it on at will and or how do I turn it off? Like, how do I stop these things from popping in? And my first question to them in return is, when are you using it actively? You know, when are you giving that intuition kind of a honed outlet?
Mm-hmm.
And so if people were coming, let's say, at the coffee shop, every third person would sit with you for half an hour or 20 minutes and say, Angelo, I'm really having troubles in my life. I need your perception to be wide open. You would probably have honed your intuition three times as fast because you were having it used, you know, in a way that somebody really wanted it to be used. And so you would be able to take those random impressions and, you know, kind of go with it. When we teach the intuition classes, we're saying don't even bother going anywhere for an intuitive bit of information unless you actually know what we call in the book the source of wisdom. Are you going to the client's body or your friend's body? Are you accessing intuitive information that is being given to you by a higher being, by a spirit guide, for example, or angel being or guardian angel? Are you accessing information from the client's mind? Is that where you're going and you're tuning into their energy field and hearing their thoughts and their worries or their fears or concerns? Are you working with a group of energies? Are you tuning into a loved one of theirs that has passed on? And on the story may go. So we teach our students really quickly. And what I've learned by bumping around, literally, you know, because nobody taught me this directly, I sort of found out the experience way, is once you enter anyone's energy field doing any kind of intuitive work, there is a host of information there, but it is also blended and coming from a lot of different places. So being able to tease it apart and be able to discern the difference between, okay, that piece of information just came from your grandma who passed on versus this is actually coming from your body versus, ooh, these are your boss's words at work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all in our energy field. It's all there. But being able to take that time and knowing to take the time or knowing, you know, knowing that we could take the time and tease them apart really helps whoever we're helping have a much clearer and accurate idea of where is this information coming from. Not only is it amazing information, but it's coming from a variety of places.
Okay, Lori, what would you say to people that have difficulty in accepting the reality of energy fields?
Sorry, I'm only hearing part of your question, Angelo. So
sorry.
What would I say to people?
Yeah, that have a difficulty in accepting the reality or the presence of energy fields. You know, being that, you know, mm-hmm. it's a popular topic or subject that's interwoven in, you know, New Age or
in
energy medicine communities or integrative health disciplines. But, you know, how do you
what
even approach
the
that?
Average person?
Well, yeah, where do you even go?
I would go straight to electricity to explain it, because most people, especially people who are really skeptical, and skepticism in this field, I think, is very healthy. It's not something we should ever frown upon, you know, in friends or in others. And I would ask them if they have a cellular phone, or do they use a computer, or have they ever faxed something, or do they listen to the radio, or have they ever sent a, I'm still terrified by wireless internet. Do they have wireless internet? They may be all plugged into the most modern technology, and we don't really stop to open our mouths and have our jaw drop when a document that's 20 pages long gets sent from my computer in Toronto over to China in a blink of an eye. How did that happen is what I want to know. Don't worry about intuition and how we're getting information from someone's energy field. How are we sending documents across the sea and having them show up verbatim and printed out, you know, moments later? So if we talk about electricity in those terms, something or some area or some person in this case is sending a transmission of electrical information. They're projecting their body. They're giving you permission. They're giving you permission to enter their energy field. So they're giving you their document or their song on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then the intuitive is focusing their attention and opening up their own, you know, human perceptors, so to speak. So we become this, you know, bounces off the satellite of permission out there. And then we tune into their bandwidth or their name or their, you know, their permission that they've given us to look at their body, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then we receive it and perceive it with our own equipment, so to speak. And it happens to be our body and our own unique senses. Some people will have visual information. Some people will have mm-hmm. auditory information, like they're listening to a report or a message. Other people will have bodily felt sensations. Everybody perceives very differently, or they may have a combination of that.
Well, it's multisensory.
And then we do our best to report as clearly as possible mm-hmm. what it is that we're receiving from this transmission, so to speak, from the other person. And so in a lot of ways, it's just like, you know, turning on the radio or turning on a computer and receiving a transmission, an email.
And at times that can be, you know, and finding that channel or locating the person's coordinates, you know, mm-hmm. via their name or some energetic mm-hmm. signature. I find that, you know, people can more readily accept the presence of intuition with people that they're closest to.
Right.
I.e. loved ones, children, parents, etc. So that's, you know, a bit more comfortable. But when it comes to
complete strangers
and then utilizing that in a professional capacity, you know, that's not everyone's really warm to or receptive to. There's a lot of static involved, a lot of interference. What would you suggest for people to, you know, hone that ability?
Well, first and foremost, I would suggest to people, you know, to practice, especially if you want to practice with strangers, is to make sure that you've talked to somebody that knows them and you've gotten their permission to do it so that you can get a clear signal, so to speak.
Of course.
It doesn't mean you can't pick up on the total stranger in the bus ahead of you, but would you want them doing that to you is always my question. Not mm-hmm. really. So if we can set ourselves up to practice with complete strangers using our intuition, whether we're focusing on a question that they have or, you know, if their focus is their body, they've got something going on, it actually is easier to focus on a complete stranger because you have no preconceived idea at all. You don't have to go through the static, as you called it, and that's a great word, of, well, I already knew they hurt their knee, or I already know they have stomach problems because I know them, because they're my aunt or they're my mom.
Mm-hmm.
or my child. So you don't have to get anything preconceived out of the way. You're starting with a complete blank slate of, I have no idea, so I guess I better just, you know, tune in and start jotting down or recording or communicating, however you're choosing to communicate the information, the first impressions that show up, and carry on with that until that feels complete, and then go with the next impression and the next impression. You really, I mean, we teach in our classes, you have to allow yourself permission to feel like you're making it all up, because you will. Why will you get all of these specifics about people you've never even met? It boggles the mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I find, you know, that it's much, much easier to tune into a perfect stranger than it would be one of my family members, because mm-hmm. I don't have any history with them. I don't know anything.
Okay.
So then I just have to perceive, which is my job, is to receive.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sorry.
I guess that would be like your radio saying, gosh, I'm not really sure if I can play you this song because I don't know it. Because I've never heard it before. It's like, your job is just to receive it and play it for me out of my speakers. And that's how I see our role, too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's backtrack for a moment before we jump ahead with a few other questions.
Sure.
How did this all evolve for you? I know you mentioned channeling.
You've been a social worker for 25 years. The shorter version is, I mean, I was doing counseling. I always start, you know, with my practice. If I'm going to weave it into the story, right out of high school, I did a year of nursing. I was off to save the world in my 17-year-old self and found out that, you know, there's far too much red tape in hospitals. I won't really be able to help people the way I want to. So I guess I better run for the hills and look after their minds. And
okay, you just shattered poor Angelo because you know he's in nursing school.
Well,
right
I know,
now,
but
right?
He's in nursing now and he knows better because he didn't just jump in there when he was 17 years old.
Oh, good point.
He will save the world through nursing.
I have a summer series dedicated to those discussions. But
exactly. Yes, you better have a ranting show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that was the beginning of my, you know, wanting to help people. So then I went into psychology and then later into social work and did that. And then when I came out, I was very serious about my practice and had a private practice. But I found that most people that were coming to see me had questions that we had been trained to answer or you know, help people through these hurdles in their life. But they were asking really more spiritual questions, like, yes, I'm grieving and you're allowing me to help grieve and understand what's happening to my loved one who's passed on, but where are they and why did this happen and how does this all fit into the grand picture of all things? And, you know, very deep questions. It's like, I didn't skip any classes during university. We didn't cover that. So I would find that when I wasn't, you know, not sure exactly what to do, which is absolutely fine. It's not my job to fix their life. It's my job to keep them company as they fix it and work toward their own goals themselves. But I would just say, well, I'm not really sure about that answer. How about we take a deep breath and just close your eyes for a moment and let's really focus on that question you're asking. It's a brilliant question. And whenever people would just take a breath in a safe setting and close their eyes, they would go on these amazing split-second magnificent journeys. They'd be off in a past life, in the, you know, pyramids, or they'd be swinging a sword around on a horse, or they'd be deep inside their body and communicating with their body somewhere, or a loved one who had passed on was there with a message, and it's like, wow, where are these people going? And so I didn't have a frame of reference for it at the time. So I decided I would study a little bit more because most often than not, people would end up somewhere in a past life. And so I took some training in Toronto with the Associations for Past Life Experiences at the time and took a number of evening classes for information's sake and then took their one evening training, actually I think it was two evening training on how to do regression. It was through doing regressions with clients over the years and thousands of clients over the years that I found that when anybody, even if they didn't have a perception of past lives or worlds beyond or the spirit world, when they would go beyond life, they would go to a similar place. And it was very peaceful, very enlightened, and very able to cross any time barrier and have all these great insights. So that was probably my first really concrete taste of there is more than meets the eye. And through doing that work for a number of years, I'm sure it just opened me up to that energy of it. And again, in 1989 is the year that I met the spirit guide that I mentioned, grandmother. And I wasn't looking for a spirit guide. I wasn't taking a class in spirit guides. I hadn't read any books about spirit guides. I'd never even heard of the word channeling. But in my own journal writing at that time, where I was seeking for some answers about what to do with my first marriage, I was writing in my journal, you know, giving my own best advice, saying don't go insane, just write it down in a journal, and it'll be good days and bad days and pros and cons, but at least it'll be there. Mm-hmm. And it was through my questing for support and questing for an answer on, you know, the most difficult decision I've ever made in my life, that grandmother, this wonderful spirit guide, just showed up in my mind's eye. So I saw her as a visual, and I could hear her talking, but I was pretty good at creative visualization. And for those of the listeners who are familiar with Shakti Gawain's work back in the 80s, creative visualization, I read all her books, and I was like, oh, perfect. I'm just visualizing this constellation figure. So she would say, you know, I'm your grandmother from the 1400s, and we lived together as people, and they had to start burying the wisdom, and I couldn't talk to you until you found me again. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm sleep-deprived, mom, two young kids, I'm going through a hard decision about my marriage. I could go for a past life as a native. If I was going to pick one, that would be where I would go for comfort. Mm-hmm. So I would just open my journal every night and just randomly ask her to come, and she would always come, and I would write every nuance down. If she was showing me something, you know, telling me something, if she wasn't there but I could sense she was there, I just wrote it all down without any censoring at all. And what I realized is that she was starting my training really intensely in being able to connect with the spirit world without me even knowing that I was. So it was brilliant. It was just in the safety of my own mind, creative visualization, And then I had to share it with a few people because some of my writings, you know, over the months that were where I was journaling privately were too amazing. So I shared it with a few friends, and then they kind of outed me, I guess would be the best way to say. They wanted to talk to this grandmother in my mind, and then I'd be invited innocuously to dinner parties, and then all of their friends wanted to talk to this grandmother in my mind. So as soon as I got put into the corner in my first experience with some paper and saying, you know, here, so-and-so has a question, and I didn't know so-and-so, and grandmother showed up, of course she would, and I started to share information about them that I didn't have any perception. I thought, uh-oh, what are we doing here? You know, this has gone beyond creative visualization, and I don't want the responsibility of being psychic. I had to frame very quickly what it was I was doing. So then somebody just said, well, maybe you're just channeling. Maybe you're just, you know, tuning in at will to a certain station out there, you know, and you're calling it grandmother, and she comes when you call her, and she has all this wisdom. And she's done, you know, and you say goodbye and thank you, and that's it. And so that became the busiest, and still is the busiest part of my private practice. And so people would come, instead of for counseling, come for a wonderful appointment with grandmother, and I'd save them years of counseling, which was wonderful for them and me. And then it was really through grandmother that any time something that would show up in the person's physical body, she would sort of nod to me, you know, energetically, and just gave me the signal like, okay, you go in there and describe what's going on in their physical body. And so I would, and I thought that, well, that there you go, that 1 year of nursing physiology came in really handy, and I can even still spell sternocleidal mastoid, let alone tell you where that is in the body. And so I would go in, and like a diligent student attending, like we talked about our model being the paying attention or attending model, I would just pay attention and had no preconceived ideas of what was going on in the body. I would just report. And then when I was done, I'd bring my awareness back out to grandmother, and she would carry on with their teaching in the context of their appointment. So I realized very quickly that I was starting to be trained to pay attention to the body as a unique source of wisdom. So, you know, in our classes, we teach you can channel the body, you can channel the guides, you can channel loved ones who have passed on. There's lots of places to go. But if you're going to go to the body for wisdom, you know, why would you want to have a spirit guide there shedding light? Because the body is an extraordinary source of wisdom unto its own. So then my appointments started looking like, you know, or clients would call and say, well, you know, no offense to you, Lori, in your counseling, but can I talk to grandmother? Now it was no offense to grandmother. Could I talk to my body? And so we coined the term at that time, body scanning, because we weren't sure what to call it. So then there was no grandmother, there was no other spirit guides. It was just Lori focusing her attention on the person's body as a unique guide, as a unique energy field. And then that's, you know, again, where the term body scanning that we called it for years and years. I've been doing it for about 7 years. And then that same wonderful pushy good friend that I had that invited me to the first dinner party and popped the friends in the corner with me with my channeling had gone to a class with Norm Shealy and Carolyn Mace, who are very well known and are the ones who had put the term medical intuition on the map. And she said to Norm, you should check out my friend Laurie in Guelph. And, you know, he's very research-oriented and a chronic researcher and checker-outer of all things. So we did call. And then after we had done our first session, he said, oh, well, you're doing medical intuition, don't you know? And it's like, what's that? And who are you?
It started the
first of many years of a wonderful journey getting to know him and his work. And their style is so opposite to our style.
That's right.
But we've learned a lot over the years, you know, about the different styles. And that kind of tumbled me into the world of medical intuition.
And
now, that's the short version.
That's the short. Yeah, it's one of the shortest versions.
That's as short as it can get.
And there's pages upon pages of questions just in what you just offered there. But we only have 1 hour.
Okay. Fire.
But you do. Thank you. But you do talk about the differences because here, you know, what you're presenting with the attending model is very different from the energy based model of medical intuition that employs energy anatomy and the chakras.
Yes.
Can you speak more about that?
Well, in the book that I wrote, the Demystifying Medical Intuition book, I didn't actually intend on creating a book that sort of looked at the field in general, but as the more I got into it and the more we had already begun teaching medical intuition, and we'd have many students come to us who said, oh, I do medical intuition, so I'd be very excited to hear about that and what their styles were, I started to realize that there seems to be five very different styles. And I'm sure there's much more than five, but in my years of being in the field, I've found sort of five main ones. So we talked about those a fair bit in the book, kind of looking at how they're doing it, where are they going for the information, how do they do their work, kind of what are the pros and cons of each style. Not saying one is better or worse, but there are limitations and you know, real excellences in all of them. So the first style we talk about in the book is the psychic reading style. So if I'm going to your body or to Lori's body, you know, all of the information that any of the intuitives or any of the medical intuitive styles are going to get, it's all in your energy field, in that energy bubble around us. So as a psychic reading style, I would go to your energy field with my own intuition period, and then I would seek to receive information or impressions or perceptions that would come out of that energy field. And things that are important regarding your health or any worries or concerns or emotions, they're going to be kind of cranked up a little louder on the volume scale. And so I would talk about those. And then kind of when that was finished, I'd go back to your energy field and see what next piece I could get out of your body or your energy field. So mm-hmm. That's more of the psychic reading style. The other style we talk about is that you actually are channeling the information from guides. So in that case, when you use the word channeling, we always say channeling means there's a third party involved. So who's the third party? I relax, use my intuition not to focus on their body, but I use my intuition to focus on my guide, whoever it is that I'm working with. In this case, you know, my guide is grandmother from the 1400s. So I'd use my intuition, focus on grandmother, and then grandmother would go to the person's energy field and talk about things that are going on in their body. And then I would channel that wisdom or that insight directly from them. So there's always a third party involved. A lot of people actually are channeling guides, but they may not have taken the time to tease it apart enough mm-hmm. to even know that they are.
I've observed that on numerous accounts.
Pardon me, you have observed that?
I've observed that and have participated in those experiences. I've seen mm-hmm. people channel just quite spontaneously. The voice quality changes,
yep.
the depth of the information and the charge associated
is
very different from the personality.
Yeah.
And then they just snap back to it.
Yeah, and then they do. And then sometimes we don't even know that we've gone there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like you have this excellent resource at your fingertips, but you're not sure exactly how to engage in it at will or really stay close to it. So, you know, that would be something to work on. So that's the information that's channeled from the guides. Another, the third one we talk about in the book is what I coined the term healer's hits, where somebody is actually doing energy work. They're doing body work. They are engaged already professionally with them. They're a chiropractor. They're a Reiki practitioner. They're a therapist.
Massage therapist,
and
yeah.
They're actually in the field doing their massage or doing their chiropractic treatment or doing their cranial sacral work, whatever they're doing. They actually have their hands and their intention and their focus in the energy field directly, and information from the body just starts to kind of pop out in their awareness. And they may share some of that information with the client. They may go with it. They may not know what to do with it, but certainly they're there. And I would hear our students talk about it a lot, saying, I was just there doing a treatment, and I just got this hit, this mm-hmm. intuitive hit, which is why I called it healer's hits, because they're always healers working in the field, and then they get these other random bits that mm-hmm. that they didn't study in massage school or chiropractic school, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So the unfortunate part of that is they're the ones that are most immersed in the field, but they're the ones least trained on how to actually go with some of these additional intuitive add-ons, or sometimes their schools of thought actually frown on that, which mm-hmm. really up until now has been probably a good idea. Otherwise, we'd be having what I call psychic tea parties in the middle of a healing session, and that's probably not what they signed up for.
Yeah, or appropriate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then the one that we talked about, the I think you called it the energetic model, that I, in the book I call the map-based model, which is actually Norman Carolyn's model that they've taught, and they've taught a number of people. And theirs is the model that's most recognized out mm-hmm. there within the field of medical intuition. They're the ones that really put the name on the map. And their style, they would go to, the intuitives would go to the person's energy field. So they're going to their body, they're going to that bubble around them. They're using their intuition to be open to impressions. Usually they'll have some kind of way of going through the body. It could be a checklist. It could be, like you said earlier, maybe they're looking at the chakras. A wonderful colleague of mine, Carol Reitberger, actually talks about the colors and the personality colors. Mm-hmm. So they would receive information in color format. So they actually do a go-through of the body, kind of a combination of their existing maps of either the chakras or colors, or they may have experience knowing something about traditional Chinese medicine and what all the different organs mm-hmm. mean, etc. Or they may be really fond of Louise Hay's wonderful map. So they're going with their intuition, perceiving these impressions from the body, reporting that, but then they have this additional kind of library or a roster of pre-existing maps behind them to build their picture, to build the story of what's going on with the body. Mm-hmm. So you're getting a composite of their experience and what the unique body is showing them. And then last but not least would be what we call our attending model that you mentioned earlier. And that's the style that we use. And we have to have a way of covering the body. So in our school of thought, the way that we teach it, we do go through the body, not with a checklist. Norm's checklist, I think, has grown from 7 pages originally in 2000 when he first showed it to me to, I think, 23 pages.
Is that all?
Growing by the moment. We just go to the body, see what it wants to broadcast first. We do it in three steps. So what's the first impression? So we kind of plug in, make sure we're tuned into the body. Then we go from head to toe, but it's not with a checklist. We're not checking eyes, ears, neurology, etc. We're actually mm-hmm. just going like a giant photocopier saying, is there anything here, anything here, anything here? When we're drawn to a certain area, we would note it, so we have a reference point in the body, and then we turn to the body with complete open mind and paying attention, attending skills, body teach me. And as you know, Angelo, because mm-hmm. you've taken the training, you know, we have ways to amplify the information. We have ways to follow. We have ways to stay out of the way. Mm-hmm. But anything could come up. It could be a song ditty show up. It could be some intricate piece of the physiology. It could be something that happened, recent injury or surgery in the past. It mm-hmm. could be something emotional, spiritual. Whatever is relevant for that unique body in front of us, it will show us the pieces that are connected. And so then we would do that, finish that observation, go to the next, go to the next. So we have a systematic way of going through the body, but it is like a giant photocopier is the best way we can describe it.
And then
we finish off with organs and systems, meaning if there's anything else more systemic in case we've missed it. That way, I think what I love about the style that we, of course, I can only be biased, what I love about our style is that we can get at the specifics of that unique body because we aren't bringing any preconceived ideas into it. And it really can help the client bring that information back to their healing team, you know, to get at the root of what's going on.
If I may, my experience with your work is I've found from, you know, my own intuitive capacity and the way I worked before, having attended your programs, that a lot of the information that I would say safely most practitioners access, people that aren't really looking for the information specifically or just receptive to it, tend to fall in the category of what you call the broadcast,
right?
Where the information just kind of pops out, comes from a variety, one of the prominent senses. You know, if a person's more visual or kinesthetic, then they'll either feel or see more.
Right.
You know, and it's from that experience that I began to explore more of, you know, what attending can offer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely introducing more structure. There's definitely more safety, and there's more of a resonance with the physical body and what themes prevail, what's most important. The broadcast is usually, you know, what's speaking loudest. Mm-hmm. That, you know, anyone, if you're not really paying attention to anything in particular, can pick up on.
Yeah.
But it's with actually just kind of honing it in, taking those deep breaths and pauses, and just being kind of a blank slate, if mm-hmm. you will.
That's a good way of looking at being that blank slate.
Yeah, and just
because,
you know,
then we can get some of the quieter pieces, which is often the root of things, but they may not be yelling the loudest.
Mm-hmm. And you could be in that zone, mm-hmm. if you will, or that space, or that space of attention, that quiet. It's akin to mindfulness.
Yes.
In a lot of ways, where you're just hanging out, and there's really no agenda, mm-hmm. and you're just waiting for perhaps other impressions. But not invested in if anything else emerges.
Yeah.
And then it's from that vantage point that other information really starts to kind of guide, you know, whatever next impression needs to be added to that.
Yeah.
That portrait. It can be exhausting.
It can be, sorry, exhausting.
It can be exhausting in that it's a stretch. You know.
It can be exhausting if your mind's trying to make sense of it. Yes.
Yeah. Right. And just, you know, being present with the information, and just, and then of course, at times, once you know you have a firm link with the body, and mm-hmm. you know, where you are accessing this information from, then it becomes a really fluid and enjoyable process.
Exactly.
And then pages upon pages.
Later, yeah.
And I'm sure your teachers have, you've graded some of my case studies. I've done more than my share.
I think yours is the largest file we have here on deck.
And what the consistent feedback that I got was from your program was, you know, stop tuning in like a psychic.
Yeah, where are you in the body?
Exactly. And, yeah. you know, can you be more specific, mm-hmm. which I found really, really helpful, because now I'm developing my technical mind and my left brain aptitudes and skills in this nursing program, and also weaving in, you know, the anatomy and pathophysiology and a lot of the lingo that goes with nursing, mm-hmm. Where I'm finding, you know, to bring it down to specificity is very, very important.
Yeah.
It's not just about, you know, I think I felt that.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
No.
No, especially in professional capacity.
Well, and especially if you're going to use it, a number of our students who have trained with us are nurses.
Are nurses.
Or doctors, mm-hmm. and, you know, they're... Won't it be nice when the day comes, and I'm sure that it's, you know, in our lifetime and not that far away, where there can be specialties, just as therapeutic touch has now been, you know, accepted within hospital settings, and that was definitely, you know, had chicken feet and witchcraft going on, you know, less than 20 years ago.
That's right.
And so won't it be nice when the day comes when medical intuition and that honed ability can be used as an accent. It's never to replace anything on any healing team's expertise. But if there are missing pieces, mm-hmm. then wouldn't it be nice if we can go in and get that and help them? Where I've been called to use the medical intuition in hospital types of settings seem to be in two areas. One is, you know, with ER situations where there has been, in fact, we were very fortunate to have four doctors already come through our program. Three of them, interestingly enough, are ER docs. And so two of them got permission from their departments to actually do some of their case studies with the, with some of the clients coming in. And it wasn't so much as I would have anticipated it, you know, like, okay, there's something going on and wouldn't it be nice if we could scan the person if they weren't conscious or whatever, to know if there's any interfacing factors that we need to know about when you're doing the triage or when you're treating them in the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
No, what they were interested in and their hospitals were interested in is for the repeat visitors who are showing up, you know, day after day or visit after visit with the chronic headaches or with the chronic stomach pain, and they've run all the tests and they just can't figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very helpful for those people to be able to apply their skills to that set of population. And then the other ones, you know, again, unfortunate situations are when the client is in a coma and then you're working with the healing team members or an advocate family member to help them understand the fuller picture of what's going on. And that's a hard ethical issue for us, because if they're in a coma, okay, then we can use our higher sense or whatever, if we have permission to go into their energy field, talk to the family members, how is this information going to be used? And then you've got to dovetail it with the existing resources that are there. And some team members are open to it and some aren't. And so you don't want to offer a skill, say, well, we can tell you exactly what's going on within the body, but then they can't use it within the system as it exists. So you don't want to create more frustration.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful that we'll be able to work that in.
As am I.
as another piece.
Yeah, I see that happening. I think part of what we're doing here with the radio show is just to inspire different new conversations, mm-hmm. To weave in a lot of those ideas. And I just need to say this, because I see this happening, is that just a growing comfort in the fact that this is a reality of what we can do. It's part of our biological fabric. It's been existent since we've been around, and it needs a voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it needs a voice, and it needs structure, and hopefully we're getting farther and farther away from the time. You know, I call it the 80s, and I always take a deep breath in there, because that was when I kind of cut my teeth on this intuitive field, and we were doing all kinds of funny things with it. I mean, we were learning, but it was this big woo-woo thing, and it was, you know, power trip for some people, and people were violating other people's privacy and space, or we would get something that was loud in their energy field intuitively, and then we'd go off onto our own little perception or our own opinion or our little tirade about X and Y. And it's like, okay, how much of that actually came from me in my energy field, and how much was that you using my energy field as an entrance way to stick all your opinions in there?
Mm-hmm.
So I think as we gain more exposure, like with your radio show and with good books and, you know, popular media that's out there, we're going to move beyond that into using it as a tool, which it certainly is and has been honed and used just like an X-ray machine would be used.
Can you speak about some of the more salient features, some of the things that you've noticed in the field that are most striking?
Within the field of medical intuition?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty broad question. Define salient.
Specific.
What's the most exciting part?
Yeah, what's the most striking for you? Like, what keeps it active and interesting? What is it that's developing? That you see, I mean, you've developed this new avenue called. That was just another voice jumping.
Yeah, what was the end of that word?
I was going to say best, but that's odd. Okay. Anyway,
now Angela, you know how to source whose mind you're listening to.
Yeah, if you actually, you know, if you don't mind, it actually felt male, and I don't know if Stuart is nearby or listening, but. the word best wanted to come out. But what I'm actually,
Stuart's my husband for the listeners.
Yes.
Who's Stuart that thinks this is the best way?
And
yeah, he's pretty biased. That's okay.
Okay. And but really what I wanted to pursue more fully was the this happens sometimes, it just does.
Well, but see how well you handled that, because you could have just said that and said, "Oh, I wonder where that popped in." But you paused and took a moment and realized, "Okay, we got a biased family member. It's a male voice. Oh, yes, your husband loves you. You know, who's your husband?" Okay, excellent. Goodbye. We'll carry on.
Exactly.
Good to you. You get a star for that, Angela.
Thank you.
Lori, give him a star.
Okay.
I'm sure you have some there in the studio.
Well, you know, if I have to just develop this point further, because that's part of what you teach,
mm-hmm.
Is just, you know, go with the first impression, develop it further. The reason why I feel like my voice box was just, my vocal cords were being utilized in a different way, was there was what looked like a translucent fiber around Lori's head, which tends to happen, the cephalic area, if you want to call it something else in anatomical terms, but it just looked gold and kind of luminescent. Mm-hmm. And I noticed it, but then, you know, just shelving it,
yep.
Right, putting it off to the side. And this is one of the few shows I've actually prepared for and typed questions for.
Excellent.
Because, you know, it's just once you start to dive into intuitive territory, we could be sitting here for at least 6 hours and still mm-hmm. discussing. But
yeah.
What I wanted to ask you about was business intuition,
mm-hmm.
which I feel really excited about. I think you're probably doing really interesting things. With that, can you speak more about, you know, some of the things that you're observing?
Well, with a business intuition, it's a different. We're still using the intuitive skills that we use in all of the work that we do and teach, except for now the source of wisdom is actually the business. And so if we go from talking about medical intuition, the source of wisdom we're accessing is the person's body. So now the actual business itself, and we call it the innate intelligence of the business, is kind of the body proper. And so we're applying the same skills. We're not scanning sort of in a head-to-toe fashion, because where would be the head of the business and where would be the toe? But the tools that we apply are very teachable and very exciting. And this program has only been out actively for 1 year. Two of my very good colleagues have twisted my arm literally right off and out of its socket and back in again from New York, who have said, "You've got to teach purchase this. I've been doing it for years, sort of as a private consulting person, but I was very hesitant to bring it out into the sort of the public arena and the teaching arena, primarily, in all honesty, is because most of the people that I've been privileged to work and teach over the years, over the last 20 years, have been health professionals. And so them having done, let's say, something as extensive as the medical intuition program, they're very able to scan a business. It's not that they can't do it at all. In fact, they can do it very easily. But if they've never walked in a business world and a business setting and sort of been chewed apart in a boardroom, so to speak, and I don't mean that in a bad way or that all boardrooms chew you up, but they're pretty good places to do that. You have to work very quickly. You have to work on the fly. You have to work with usually three or four different people talking to you at the same time as you're receiving your perceptions. Not only do we have, you know, the client's voice, for example, in medical intuition, we were listening to maybe five or six different voices. In business, you're listening to, we've got at least 45 different voices that we can name and talk about, and I'm sure there's 50 more. And those could include the market itself, the founders of the business, the family members of the business. It could be a certain product line that's talking and giving its perception, you know, and on the story may go. And so you've got to work faster. You've got to work under a different kind of pressure, and you've got to be able to really hone in and source, you know, kind of whose opinion that is. So if you were doing a business intuition meeting or a session, for example, you would actually be taking a list of, let's say, 10 different things that you could do. You could look at market research. You could look at headhunting, staffing issues, staffing conflicts, whether you want to move to a different location, what's the best product line to expand on, the normal things that would be going on in a business. You would sit literally, you used the word earlier, with a blank slate. We work with a blank piece of paper and go over the agenda items. Okay, these are the four things we're going to do in this hour or this two-hour session. And then you order the agenda intuitively, and then you just start drawing these. They look like a bubble diagram or a concept diagram, but it's not at all from our analytical part of our brain. Mm-hmm. It's just basically random impressions that you're putting on paper, and then you're talking out loud about the diagram and the questions at hand as you start to build a story. And then those who you are serving, you know, the business owners, for example, or the department heads, are asking questions as you're going on. And so it's cool. Very exciting and very dynamic and very, very useful for the business people. But as you can imagine, you know, here I've had the privilege of teaching students how to do a scan. We prepare the scan beforehand. You're delivering it to one person. We're not giving healing recommendations. It's a very structured way. Now you're in a very busy, dynamic, you know, agenda-filled, hot environment, and I wasn't wanting to put my health practitioners in that type of environment, you know, unless they had business experience. That said, we've been doing it for over a year, and we've trained probably about 30 people so far, and they're learning really, really well on how to intuitively navigate the innate intelligence of the business proper and look at all kinds of things, and it's really fun.
I bet. I'd love to explore that, you know, in greater depth. I've certainly done it, you know, for my own use, and have consulted for clients, of course, regarding staffing issues or with, you know, specific trends or, you know, what's the best choice to make next. With that, I would love for you to demonstrate that skill briefly, if you will. I think the timing's perfect. Lori and I were just having Lori Houston, that is. We were just having a discussion prior to going on air. About the very subject, about, you know, business.
My business.
And
it's okay.
If you don't mind, just if Lori, if you can take a few minutes and just...
Sure.
Okay.
So, Lori, you want me to be tuning into your business itself?
Well, or lack of.
Okay.
Obviously, the area of the radio is... it seems to be the one thing that connects really well. And my business that actually makes money, because the radio doesn't really make money, has changed so dramatically over the last couple of years. And I didn't mean, I'm starting to think, do I need to, you know, get a job? Do I need to, I don't know what I need to do, but that needs to be a focus right now.
Okay. So what I'll do then is I'll just focus on your business. I'm just going to use, you know, your name and your intention of what your business is. And then I'm just going, I've got paper in front of me, so I'll just sort of randomly draw. And what I'm drawing first, I'll just say it out loud so that you can have the picture in your own mind, is a triangle. The one at the right bottom corner is the radio show, and it's also aspects of education, lectures, kind of fairs, things like that, that you have done in the past and or will be doing in the future. And that's showing me that it's about 20% of your business, and this is the educator.
Okay.
The top part, which has been your bread and butter, so to speak, in the last 10 years that your business is showing me, it's changed so much. I'm looking at that area of the business, and it's a type of education as well, more of a kind of consulting, let's call it. Okay. I mean, you haven't told me what exactly it is that you're doing, but it looks like you're educating, you're consulting. It's a type of more hands-on, one-on-one type of business.
Yeah.
Is that safe enough to say that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a social worker too, but mostly I've been doing intuitive counseling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's sort of been the one-on-one aspect.
Yeah.
What I'm seeing about that part that keeps tumbling off, it has been in the past about 75% of your business, your bread and butter, your earning, your passion. And in the last 10 years, it's showing me that it's kind of dwindled down to about 40% capacity. And as I see this dwindling, it's not because of lack of skill. It's not because of lack of ability to do it. I'm seeing that discrepancy of literally, you know, 35% of your energy and that work is actually because you're giving so much away to others for free.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I don't want to put you on the spot at all, but it's just kind of like, oh, that person, yeah, and I know them. Okay, well, I'll do that. I'll do this little extra. And so if we somehow measured your hours in and hours out over the last 10 years, it's really changed. You're too generous with your time and with your energy.
Right.
Do you understand that part?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's not a bad thing. You know, I will say that just as Lori on the side, given that I probably do exactly the same thing. But that's kind of taken the passion for new horizons out of the piece. So I'm drawing a star sort of at that top, that one-on-one, that consulting aspect of you still wants to be the champion. It still wants to be that 75 to 80% of your bread and butter and energy, but you've really showing me in the next 8 months. So here in 2010, it's really wanting you to find some new horizons. And I'll get back to that in a second as far as what the new horizons would be. The last little bit that the left side of all of the free love and helping has happened and it's trickled off to the side, there's sort of an aspect of writing down there in that right. corner, the third corner. But it's just kind of the word that comes up is fits and starts.
Yeah.
It's like you're doing it. You're a great writer. I mean, you've got a whole bunch of pieces that could be worked up and crafted up, and if somebody handed you a lottery ticket that was winning, that would be great. You would enjoy doing that, but it's just not happening right now.
Right.
So as I take your breath, and then, and Angelo, you're good at tracking too. You can probably feel that, almost that tension and this sadness and the tightness in your throat area, Lori. And that's not so much yours. It's the worry and the sadness of if I'm now drawing this whole sort of expanded quadrant from the top down to the writing corner, it's all the loved ones, all the family, you know, all the friends, all the clients that you love dearly, all of this extra additional kind of free help that you're giving. They're just really sad and really worried that you're not going to be available to them in the cozy way that you have been. So do you understand the tightness and the sadness?
Oh, yeah.
Can you feel that in your own body?
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah. So when you feel that and when that comes up, it's almost like your body's, we call it a body cue, that you're saying, okay, everybody, okay, my big gang, let's give you a group love beam, and then kind of get onto the focus. Mm-hmm. And so we're back to the how to make it different, which is what your mind is asking as a question, is you're not on the wrong track. You've just been depleting about 35% of your energy, which has taken a bit of a toll on the passion. And to take that 35% additional energy and to really kind of cloister yourself down into your own plan and really build this new horizon. Who are going to be my new clients? And a big part of that answer is our businesses, small to medium businesses. Most of your clientele in the past have been female-based, but your business is showing me that in this next 2 years, it's going to really balance out, that it'll be both male and female. Okay. And most of it seems to actually be local, like local to Toronto, and you seem to really like that because then you can be close to the, you know, the people and the loved ones that do want your time and energy. So that part feels complete. I'm mindful of our time and any other questions you might want to have. But does that give you a snapshot idea of what's going on?
Yeah, sort of. Lately I've been thinking maybe to do relationship stuff, and I know that I've played with that in different ways, but I don't know. You know, I'd done a lot of energy in clearing work, and I feel that actually I only actually got into that work because somebody needed a clearer. And
you only got, You only got into the work because somebody needed
a clearer. Like somebody.
Okay.
So then I sort of.
You were it.
Developed it. I mean, I knew it. Yeah, I knew it. And so I just started, you know, doing it really well. And I'm really good at it. But it's not really my passion because it's really focusing on a lot of the negative stuff that people, you know, either. Anyway, it's just it goes into an area that is not necessary, and I don't believe it's necessary, but it's the way I make a lot more money. But
yeah, that's how people have found you best. Yeah. Can I shed light again, just to be mindful of time's sake? Can I shed light on that from sure. grandmother, from the spirit guide that I channel? It feels like she wants to come in and have a little 2 cents about that. Would that be appropriate?
Absolutely.
Please do.
Okay. So as I just take a breath and ask grandmother, She's saying, child, you could not have done things any differently. You must give yourself a pat on the back and say that not only have you held up your family, you have held up many loved ones, many clients, many family members with all of your great mother love, so to speak, within you, your great friendship embrace that you have given. And yes, you have been looking after much of what you are calling the clearing, the negativity that has gotten into people's way. But our world itself was not ready for the likes of you. Until now, this year 2010, for all of us listening to these words, is the year that our life is beginning to work in the way that we have always envisioned it working. This deep depression that has come across everyone's table from the end, perhaps the middle of December until the middle of January, finally has left its head from our bed, so to speak, and we are now blinking and getting back on track. And so in your regards, you're wanting to help other people, these businesses, these small to medium-sized businesses, move forward in new and dynamic ways. They themselves were not ready to make this shift. They were busy just tending shop. They were not ready to build their own dreams and passion and a larger picture for serving into the grand picture of all things. They did not have the bravery, the wherewithal, and it just was not time. And so blessed be that you have busied yourself with tending to some of the shoveling of what you are calling negativity. But now, this additional 35% of your time and energy does need to be shifted, not because you are tired of it, but just because you cannot be well used properly for what you are good at. But it was not a waste of time. It is just what you did to fill the time in a productive way. Do you understand these words?
Mm-hmm.
So she's saying, I know you are tired. We are all tired. Everyone is tired. We should all just lay down and sleep for 2 years. But we cannot afford to do such a thing. And so find a way to use at least one day of your week to come out, to make new contacts, to make new networks, and to offer your goal and your passion, which is how to make something beautiful, more sparkling, more efficient, more engaged in the world that we are actually in. This is always what you have wanted to do, and you will be able to do this year, but you will need to make some new colleagues, some new friends. And she looks at you, Angela. She says, you will not be left in the dust, child. Do not worry about this.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I suspected. You know.
Yes.
Okay.
So you can help Lori. I'm back to Lori now. You can help her schedule her one day for new networking.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm all about the planning and envisioning new ideas and mm-hmm. kind of inspiring those conversations that need to happen. So, yeah absolutely. You know, it's an open door. I want to thank you very much for doing that.
Well, you're welcome. And hopefully you could see a little bit of sampling of, I didn't do any medical intuition demonstration, but we talked a whole lot about it.
We did.
And we talked about business intuition and also a little sample of grandmother.
Of course. And for listeners, they can contact you via, is it www.interaccess101? And?
Yes.
Okay.
www.interaccess101.com is our website. My personal email is Lori, L-O-R-I, at interaccess101.com. And they can have a peek on our schedule for our classes. We do have a new medical intuition class coming up in April, mid-April.
You do.
And not only is myself teaching it, but your trainer, our most senior trainer, Sandy Lloyd-Tamaki, is co-teaching
yes.
that with me. So if you can never get enough of Sandy, she will be there as well.
Great. Great. Yeah. And where are you next?
Where am I off to next? I'm teaching medical intuition for a group that's finishing up this weekend coming up, and then I'm off to Sacramento. I believe, next in April.
All the best.
And then I think back to New York in June.
Sure,
like in New York. That's a wonderful place. And I hear that you've got Kelly Woodruff coming up on the show, and he's just wonderful.
Do.
He is one of the two who twisted my arm right out of the socket, so we can give kudos to him and Doug DeVito as well of the reconnection.
Absolutely.
For being the ones that pulled it out of me.
Great. And we'll have, Kelly's going to be on the show. He's an associate instructor with the Reconnection. Mm-hmm. We'll be discussing the new frequencies of healing in June. But with that, thanks once again for joining us on the show, Lori.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, it's been my pleasure. An hour is never long enough. We sure covered a lot of ground. Hopefully, your listeners enjoyed that.
I'm definitely a fan. I speak about the work, and for listeners, a seminal reference on the subject of mystical intuition.
Mystical intuition. No. Add that D in front.
Demystifying medical intuition. My words are just not coming out tonight.
That's all right. You're already networking for Lori, so you're on a different call. There we go.
Okay.
Thank you both for having me on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Intuitive Literacy Radio is a monthly live online radio broadcast dedicated to personal growth and transformation, sponsored by Gardening for Life, creating innovative horticultural therapy programs using nature and the cultivation of plants to improve our physical, emotional, social, and spiritual well-being.
There we go. All right. We'll be back
in
a month.
Excellent.